You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, and it had to be done, you got it done and you did it safely. You wore your mask. You kept your distance. You cleaned your hands consistently. You stayed safe and you got it done. That's the way it goes, brother and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. And if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see Time for an Awakening. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. So this evening from 6 to 8 is Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra on Mondays. Tuesdays, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays. Excuse me. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bunisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is? That's right, brothers and sisters. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. Sister Talk. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday from 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sundays at 7 p.m. That is our program lineup. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, please go online to WeBuyBlack.com to shop for your holiday, Kwanzaa, any other day that you have. It's very important that you do so. You know, we need to support our businesses and support one another. It's vitally important that we do it. WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses,
WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani is leaving on Thursday, the 24th, going to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th. And, of course, the Christmas holiday is celebrated, of course, in Ghana. Them some serious Christians there, man. Then April 2nd through the 12th of 2021, Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 4th, Ghana once again. And then November 18th through the 29th, 2021, Tanzania. And I plan to go to Tanzania on that trip, November 18th through the 29th. All his trips, the four that I just mentioned, were $3,700 per person. You can put a $400 down payment down and begin to pay on it to reserve your position for a trip of a lifetime. And everything that you need is on the website, Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see photos of trips, previous trips, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous trips, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Brother Rinoko Rashidi, Baba Rinoko has a trip upcoming. First, he's going to Kemet in August 1st through the 14th, 2021. And then he's going to Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. Uganda and Rwanda. Beautiful pictures he has. Check out Brother Rinoko if you want to give him a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Habesha Incorporated.org. The brothers and sisters are doing the work. They are doing the work here in the Atlanta area as well as on the continent with Tekashi Project. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. HabeshaIncorporated.org. And you can check out what the brothers and sisters are doing with the various projects they have. The Habesha Works Program, the Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and the urban green jobs that are being provided, and, of course, the Golden Growers. So check out HabeshaIncorporated.org. Wadada's Healthy Market, Health Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End across the street from Soul Veg, Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, as well as down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open. The Shrine of the Black Madonna here in Atlanta is open. Here there in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. You can buy your Kwanzaa Kids candles. You can buy gifts, of course, clothing, furniture, you name it. The Shrine has it. And, of course, they have books. They have books, beautiful books at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. If you want to shop for your family and gifts, nothing better than to give a child a book. That's what I always say. In fact, we still had this holiday thing that a sister from the post office started, and she started it. And the idea was a lot of kids who would not get anything, more than likely. And so what they wanted to do was have the ability for them to have something. And so she came up with this idea to take them to a restaurant, give them a nice meal, and present a gift. Unfortunately, she passed the following year, but the people at the post office in Milwaukee decided to keep her vision going. And so for many years, unfortunately, it didn't happen this year because of COVID. Damn. But it was a beautiful thing, and I got the Black firefighters involved in it and the other firefighters involved in it and other people involved in it for many years, and it grew tremendously, tremendously. And they have a buffet food, and you pay for the child's gifts and then present it to them. It was cool. It was a cool thing. Yeah. Can't have it now. But, yeah, so the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check out Mama Nia in the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Gazemdi Ajamu, will have Kwanzaa on this Saturday. This Saturday, the 26th, they will have Kwanzaa. Baba Broody will be speaking for the Kwanzaa keynote virtually. I will be there and has doing the libation and to be the master of ceremonies for the Kwanzaa presentation at the Black Dog Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. And if you want to give Brother Gazemdi a call, it's 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. Us lifting us. On Blog Talk Radio, go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. If you just want to listen or make a comment or question or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people. Oh, I didn't mention the Ledge Group. I apologize. The Ledge Group, of course, another one we promote, and those brothers and sisters are doing outstanding work here locally and, of course, on the continent. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. And, of course, the four areas, their main concern is food, water, clothing, and shelter, the basic things you need. Of course, they have 12 projects that are active. They're in six countries. They have over 170 people employed globally and over 260 members. Join the LEDGE Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. Check out the land opportunities that they're having in Africa. It is our move, brothers. Make that move. Sanjay Dash Haiti, my sister Gabrielle Rilia, who's doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti with beautiful work with children and education and health care and sustainable agriculture. Little entrepreneurship because they grow food and dry out vegetables, all kind of good stuff. That is sonjay-aiti.org. 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 Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti, Ma and Mama Ya Baruti, educating our young warriors. Also, too, he was on the program last week and, of course, promote AkabinHouse.com. If you want the books that Baba Baruti has, go to AkabinHouse.com, and there you'll see the books that you can order, AkabinHouse.com. The school is Akaban Institute, and you make your check of money order out to Akaban Institute at P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to make a consistent monthly donation, go to Cash App or PayPal. On Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then the word Baruti, the name Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 20th. Students need to know that the reason we're all still doing square roots is because of these black people that lived at least 1,000 years ago. Deborah Ma'at Moore. Chess is math, which was ancient Nubians and Kemet's strongest suit, because the universe they deciphered for us is math. Chess is a game that requires the constant calculations and recalculations of multiple numerical problems at the same time. The leap in thinking that occurs in a child when he or she is required to simultaneously consider the present and possible moves of 32 uniquely moving pieces. Consistently traversing a 64-square board is truly amazing to witness. Not surprisingly, it increases those skills by default. Mathematical thinking skills improve without students even trying. They don't even realize that they're learning. Affirm, I embrace math. Affirm, I embrace math. December 21st. We do not believe that there's any hope for a people who do not believe that they look like God. Let me repeat that. We do not believe that there's any hope for people who do not believe that they look like God. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. He says, I believe God is black. He's got to be black, because if God is a white man, there is no hope. That's a great quote. The cosmic sea is black. Carbon is black. Melanin is black. The richest earth is black. The color containing all other colors is black. The ink that our ancestors recorded truth with on papyri was black. Beauty is black. The world's hardest diamonds are black. Imhotep, the world's first multi-genius, was black. Carbon, the most fundamental element in the universe, is black. Our deities are black. The Kepler beetle is black. Night, the time of spiritual meditation, is black. Petroleum, the world's most abundant and practical carbon hydrocarbon energy resource, is black. Armaji, misnamed Lucy, the mother of all humanity, was black. The most regal panther and strongest ants are black. The world's first iron smelters were black. Light is most visible in black. Energy is black. The cap and color of the chambers in the pyramids were originally black. The Kushites, the Kemites, and all other ancient Africans were black. Untainted, our skin is still black. And we know that the primordial waters from which the universe was sprung from were black. So why wouldn't the Creator be black? Affirm, I am divinely black. Affirm, I am divinely black. Melanin. That's what we're going to talk about today. A couple of things, because today is the 21st, which is the winter solstice. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about melanin. You know, the substance of melanin. Everybody has it. All humans have it. It is to varying degrees do humans have it. I think that one of the places where life can grow, coming out of Central East Africa and all of the substances, and every substance on the planet has melanin. But if you want to have growth, you need to be in an area that can sustain growth, not just seasonally. See, because today we're talking about the winter solstice, December 21st. That is when the tilt of the earth in the northern hemisphere is furthest away from the sun. And then, of course, in June, the tilt of the earth is furthest away from the southern hemisphere in June. So now the people in the southern hemisphere, Australia, South Africa, they will begin to experience summer. And then vice versa. When June comes, they will have their winter. That's why the Australian Open is one of the first tennis tournaments of the four major tennis tournaments, and is played at this time. And there have been times, even though here in the northern hemisphere, dead cold, but in the southern hemisphere, I remember seeing some matches that had to be canceled because it was extremely hot. And of course, they had a lot of fires in Australia at that one time. you know, because it was so hot and dry. So, but that is how the earth regulates itself, I believe. You know, you have the winter solstice followed by the spring equinox in March, followed by the summer solstice in June, followed by the fall equinox in September, thereabouts that time. So we're going to talk about that after the break. So, but right now we're going to talk about the beauty of melanin and the importance of melanin. Now, of course, I don't know a lot about melanin, except with all the things that I've read. I got a good, nice article here I'm going to read. But if there's somebody who has more information on the importance of melanin and that melanin is everything, share that knowledge with us. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. That's right, 215-490-9832. An article. Of course, you know, I pluck articles when I see them online. You know, when I see them on the internet, on Facebook or wherever, you know, I'll try my best to save it and let it be a, so it can be a subject on this program. Yeah, that's what I do. Melanin is the most supreme substance in the universe, and we're made of it. We are made of it. We are made of black, transmutable, life-bringing, multidimensional, superconductive substance of the universe. A phenomena is a fact or situation that is observed to exist or happen, especially one whose cause or explanation is in question. Is not melanin a fact or a situation that is observed to exist or happen? Is not the cause or explanation of melanin in question? Indeed, melanin is more than just a chemical compound. It's a universal phenomenon. A quote from the book, Why Darkness Matters, The Power of Melanin in the Brain, explains the importance of investigating the phenomenon of melanin. The cosmic carbon atom, interstellar gas clouds of nanodiamonds, cosmic melanin, and their relationship to biological melanin and neuromelanin is a fundamental category of knowledge that yields a critical meaning to a study of melanin, which dismisses the two tendencies in modern science that seek, for ideological reasons, to lessen the impact of melanin studies. One tendency is to dismiss melanin studies simply as pseudoscience. This is to equate and associate melanin with the mere waste products of a cellular metabolism. Is melanin a biological waste product or a luminous jewel waiting to be rediscovered and understood by us in modern times? Well, I would think that because of people who don't have a lot of melanin, and if they're in control of information, then they would dismiss melanin. What do you think? I think so too. Exactly. As melanated mind, you cannot know thyself unless you know melanin. If you allow Caucasian intellectuals and experts to persuade you that your melanin is a useless accessory, then you would inadvertently fall into a sunken place of hopelessness, powerlessness, and disconnectedness. Your blackness literally is your power. I repeat, your blackness literally is your power. I'm not talking about social constructs, an identity, or a trending hashtag. I'm talking about black power in your biological genetic circumstance. The black melanin in you, specifically the neuromelanin that comes from the center of your brain, is what grants you the potential to consciously manipulate elements of the universe at will. You know, that's That's why many people believe that the ancient Kemetic people had, you know, tapped into this so greatly while they could. Because, I mean, when you look at the enormity and the vastness and the weight of many of the stones, be like, wow. And when you look at the tunnels, when you look at what they did in the Pyramid of Khufu, the shafts that I tell you, you know, this is mind-blowing at times, isn't it? Melanin is overwhelmingly comprised of carbon, which is one of the most abundant elements found in the universe. Dr. Richard King, whom some would consider an expert on the subject, says this about the relationship between carbon and melanin. Black was the color of carbon, the key atom found in all living matter. Carbon atoms linked together to form black melanin, the first chemical that could capture light and reproduce itself, the chemical key to life. And the brain itself was found to be the center around black neuromelanin. It is common to see people who are melanin deficient downplaying melanin as if it's just another substance that gives your skin color, nothing more, nothing less. The U.S. National Library of Medicine, the National Center for Biotechnology Information, explains the circumstance of melanin in the skin. Dermomelanin is produced by melanocytes, which are found in the sternum basal of the epidermis. Although human beings generally possess a similar concentration of melanocytes in their skin, the melanocytes in some individuals and races more frequently or less frequently express the melanin-producing gene, thereby conferring a greater or lesser concentration of skin melanin. Some individual animals and humans have have no or very little melanin in their bodies, which is a condition known as albinism, albinos, albinism. In other words, a human is melanated, made of and integrated with melanin. Dr. Edward Bruce Bynum, clinical psychologist and author of Dark Light Consciousness, Melanin, Serpent Power, and the Litmus Matrix of Reality, explains in another way how we are integrated with melanin and how melanin is transmutable. In the biosphere of living organisms like us, this dark matter is called eumelanin. Paleomelanin or allomelanin, as mentioned earlier, in our spine, brainstem, the intricate labyrinth of the brain core and brain, this black natural material is called neuromelanin. It is highly sensitive to light, movement, and the shift of energy, transformations from one state to another. It has a high iron content that makes it especially sensitive to weak but detectable influences of terrestrial magnetism. Melanin can change forms, matter, electricity, light, liquid, sound, etc. In addition, a severe melanin deficiency would disrupt the potential for cosmic, spiritual communications and or integration with the natural harmony with the universe. Without sufficient levels of melanin to inspire an organ hypersensitivity to energy and vibrations, getting in touch with the rhythm of the universe is a hopeless journey. Without melanin, you cannot. You're not hypersensitive to the energy and the vibrations, and you cannot get in touch with the rhythm of the universe. It is so much more than that, but people who have sufficient levels of melanin are already aware of this, especially those of us who studied the Afrocentric scholars who have spent lifetimes studying melanin. and is it and its implications upon the individual, society, and the universe. One of the greatest sources of information around this substance can be found in the work of Dr. Richard King. In his book, African Origins of Biological Psychiatry, he thoroughly expounds upon the mysteries and melanin and how it relates to spirituality, cosmic awareness, the black dot, blackness, the pineal gland, ancient science, and much more. Dr. King opens up the book, African Origins of Biological Psychiatry, with summarizing the phenomenon of blackness, the black dot. This study of blackness and melanin was a priority study of our ancient ancestors. Black dot is an ancient symbol for blackness. It is the black seed of all humanity, the archetype of humanity, the hidden doorway to the collective consciousness of darkness, the shadows, the primordial ocean, chaos, the womb, the doorway of life. This ancient symbol for blackness was the subject of intense scientific investigation over a period of 300,000 years by profound ancient scientists who were themselves black in consciousness. A long line of highly intelligent scientists studied their own essence and discovered a hidden doorway to their souls and spirits, a doorway to the advanced laws and rhythms that span the universe. They discovered universal laws rooted in the black seed, feeding every dimension of time and space. These original titans found that all life came from a black seed. All life was rooted in blackness. All things possessed a memory of their collective ancestors. Blackness, the universal solvent of all, was seen as the one reality from which life loomed sprung. All colors, all vibratory energies were but a shade of black. Black was the color of night sky, primeval ocean, outer space, birthplace, and the womb of the planet. Stars and galaxies of the universe, black holes were found at the center of our own galaxy and countless other galaxies. Black was the color of carbon, the key atom found in all living matter. Carbon atoms linked together to form black melanin, the first chemical that could capture light and reproduce itself. The chemical key to life and the brain itself was found to be centered around black neuromelanin. Inner vision, intuition, creative genius, spiritual illuminations were found to be dependent on the pineal blood, born chemical messengers that control dark skin or skin color and open the hidden door to the darkness of the collective unconscious mind, allowing the ancient priests and scientists to visualize knowledge from the mind's timeless collective unconscious memory banks. There is a direct parallel between melanin, carbon, dark matter, blackness. Another scholar and an ancestor, Dr. Layla Africa, in his classic work, Melanin, What Makes Black People Black? He claims melanin is an organic dark carbon chemical pigment substance. He also points out that the color of melanin appears as black because it is absorbing all colors. Once the color enters the melanin, it cannot escape. Melanin is concentrated colors. It is a cellular black hole similar to the black holes in outer space. If you want additional resources about melanin, another great book would be Dark Light Consciousness, Melanin, Serpent Power, and the Luminous Matrix of Reality by Edward Bruce Bynum. His research also validates the magnificence of melanin. Dr. Bynum confirms that melanin has many physical, spiritual, and multidimensional implications, leading learning how to master this subject and the pineal gland is the key to higher consciousness. Especially when you read books of all those scholars, Dr. Richard King, Dr. Edward Bynum, Dr. Leila Africa, you should come to the conclusion that we were made of the black, transmutable, multidimensional, life-bringing, superconductive substance that glazes the entire universe, melanin. You know, and it seems that those without melanin who are running the world, whose dominance of the world, whose dominance of information about the world, have made those of us who have melanin, made us to be ashamed. You know, brother put a meme out the other day. And said that when somebody says, well, no, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And those who are religious, particularly Christian, the thing that they conjure up in their mind is something evil, something sinister, when they talk about spiritual. Because they've been so damn trained to believe that the Christian religion, the belief in Jesus Christ, is so most important that anything outside of that is pagan, is worthless, especially you're talking about something spiritual. You're talking about demon possession. You're talking about ancestor worship. You're talking about things that are outside of human possibilities. That's how they like to think about it. It's a damn shame that when people say that I'm spiritual, that that's what comes up into a lot of their minds, witchcraft. Voodoo, demon worship, because they've been trained because of the Christianity that has been imposed upon us, and the training is so well done. And because Christianity's face is European, I don't give a damn what we say. I don't care what we say. I don't care how hard we try. I don't give a damn if we go to the book of Revelation saying that his feet was like bronze that had been burned in the oven, his hair was like lamb. I don't give a damn about that. You may feel that way, and I understand. But the reality, the damage is done, and the damage is global. It is done. When all the iconography, all the iconography is European looking. It's devastating. Go to Ghana. Go to Nigeria. Probably the same thing in Kenya. These are British speaking, but other places as well. Look what Cote d'Ivoire, the president of Cote d'Ivoire did. Instead of spending money on improving the health of the people, the infrastructure of the people, build a huge ass church. A lot of the money of the country, because you know African countries, they're rich in resources, but poor in every other area, damn it. And they build a big ass church. And of course, the imagery that you see, the imagery is European. Get my good brother's documentary, Brother Jeremiah Kamara, Holy Lockdown. It's outstanding. I think you can order it through Amazon, Holy Lockdown. And he also now has, he has slave sermons on YouTube. And he has some new ones on YouTube I've been checking out. Got to get my good brother back in at the beginning of the year, you know, so we can talk more about the damage that is being done because of the things that we believe. That's why Stevie Wonder said it best. When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And are we not a suffering people? Because we believe in things, things that have been imposed upon us, and we're made to believe them. And it becomes to a situation that if you don't believe this, this is what you should believe. This is what you should worship. This is what you should. If you don't. You know, people say it all the time, and I know if you, I guess, Facebook kind of tailors things that come to you because of how your mind is. You know, obviously, I don't see very, very few things about Caucasian unless it's an advertisement or something like that. I might see a former firefighter come through. I don't even respond, you know. But, you know, they're designed because that's what you're looking at. That's what you usually respond to. You make comments on them and you forward them and so forth so they can consistently send you that kind of information. And that's cool, you know. And I would suppose that if I rejected those and wanted the religious Christianity religions or even Islam religion, you know, or any other religion, I would get those things when I opened Facebook. You know, that's what they would send me, you know, because that's how that goes and that's how they are, you know. But when we understand the power of who we are, and believe me, it is tough because our people, you know, what I'm saying to you right now, there's very few people understand how important melanin is and how important we understand what melanin is. Not just the coloring of our skin, but the fact that when you look at what we have done, just like, you know, just once again, the irony, because I was talking, I'm going to talk about this, and there it is in the Enye Sesim, black, you know, melanin, black. And what it has done for us, you know. But, you know, the people who don't have melanin, the people who were cut off by the Ice Age and who mutated, who changed, because everything that lives, it wants to live. And it will change itself so it can continue to live. It will adapt itself to the environment so it can live. And that's what Europeans did. That's what the Caucasian did. He changed. No longer did he have close curled hair, broad nose, thick lips, slender body, dark melanated skin to protect him from the ultraviolet rays of the sun. No longer did he have that. He had a stocky body, short stocky body with hair all over him, long hair, hair that definitely covered the back of his neck to keep the isolation. Because why? When your heart pumps, it has to pump blood up to what? Your brain. And it passes through your neck, through your spinal cord, your neck. And that's, you know, if it's constantly exposed to the cold, it ain't gonna get up there, and eventually you will die. So these survival and mechanisms that Europeans developed over a period of time and in an environment that is harsh, unyielding, ungiving, short, makes you selfish and greedy and mean-spirited. It's not like Africa. That's why the woman, the European woman, is always and will be subjugated and put under by the European man. There's no complementarity. There's no equality. But in Africa, there was. Because if the brother got mad at the sister, or and sister didn't do nothing, but he just being mean, She could just say, forget you then. I'm going to go down the road. There's a village down the road with good people and they'll care. And they got plenty of food. Ain't got to take this from you. But in Europe, the woman had to acquiesce. She had to capitulate because the environment was so ungiving and so scary. At night, it's dark out there. There's animals out there. There's no food out there. So she had to just say, hey. And so then Europeans, as they consistently, continuously develop, and of course, you know, a lot of the things that we read are from their perspective because they have been able to dominate information. Just like Dr. Clark said, when they physically took the world, but it was even deeper, they colonized information about the world. And of course, everything was there from their perspective. They looked at it from who they are as being the best, you know, and then denigrating and demeaning and degrading us. And of course, if there was something great about us, they claimed it for themselves. Just like they claimed Kemet, they claimed it for themselves. And of course, yeah, there's no doubt about it that the Ptolemies, and there were some temples that the Ptolemies, you know, drew themselves in, you know, because they were in control of Kemet for a few hundred years, you know. And of course, same thing with the Persians and the Hyksos. Those are the three major invasions. And of course, that the culture was so strong and so beautiful that it didn't end until Islam. So even under the Hyksos, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, the culture of Kemet maintained, and it did not change until hundreds of years later with the spread of Islam. And of course, it was devastating because, you know, they truly had no respect. They took the limestone coverings off the pyramids to build temples and mosques for themselves, you know, and expose the jagged rock, you know. So there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about today. If you want to talk about them, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk about the winter solstice. I'll play the Zegite piece. It's about 14 minutes long. It's because it helps us give us an understanding of what this time of the year is and what it means. And I know Friday, we're on Friday, and we'll talk about Wednesday. Wednesday is important. We're going to talk about Kwanzaa. Brother Bashir M. Chawi out of New York and Sister Akina Chewbacca here in Atlanta. She's here in Atlanta, but she was on the West Coast. And there was a Sister Mama Akina who was a keeper of Kwanzaa. So you know that, you know, there are other people who are involved in Kwanzaa. And I have done this particular program for a number of years now. And Brother Bashir M. Chawi has been on my guest. And Sister Akina, because you need to know that the formation of Kwanzaa was not just Malana Karinga, and it is not his and his alone. Kwanzaa is ours. That's why I have no problem celebrating Kwanzaa. I know I've seen some ugly, heinous things by Caucasians, particularly as it relates to Malana Karinga and him being an informant, him just doing what he did to those sisters. And these are truths. These are truths. It's sadly and unfortunately, but these are truths, you know. And but Kwanzaa has the opportunity to be a unifying force for us as African people if we embrace it. And we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Kwanzaa for the rest of the and play the Kwanzaa music. That's right. The Kwanzaa music. The Seven Principles of Kwame and Shavinduka out of Chicago. So let's get off into that. And when we come back, we will get off into the winter solstice. So, brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. You stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
It comes to us through our ancestral bloodline, collective work, responsibility for our global economics and political destiny.
I want to say that I'm an African. I celebrate Kwanzaa because I'm an African.
Together now, it's Kwanzaa time.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Of course, that was Kwame and Shavinduka out of Chicago. Seven Principles CD, if you can go online to YouTube and just put in Seven Principles CD and Kwanzaa Music and the Teddy Pendergrass piece I played last week. I'll play it again. And I'm going to give some other cuts that are on this. Seven Principles, the Kuji Chagalia, Ujima, Ujama, Nia, you know, Kumba, and of course Imani Faith. Imani Faith is just a beautiful song. I love that song. So, other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. Followed at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. And then on Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live. Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benicia Ayan. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, I'm going to read a lot more on the melanin and have some more discussion on that. I remember seeing Dr. Africa right before he made his transition. He was here in Atlanta, you know, and I was trying to get him to come on the program. I gave him my card. We talked and he told me to call him, and then he made his transition. So, and that happens. But I want to give more time to that particular subject. This, of course, is the 21st of December. This is in the Northern Hemisphere, the shortest amount of daylight, and of course, in the Southern Hemisphere, it is the longest amount of daylight. The Northern Hemisphere at this time, the Earth tilts away from the sun, and it tilts towards the sun in the Southern Hemisphere. And at this time of year, you know, it's winter. It's cold, you know. And that's why they came up with all kinds of, you know, all kinds of festivals, because it was cold. Yeah, the winter solstice. And of course, there were various religions that charted. And of course, us being one of the earliest ones to do so, the movement of the stars, the movement of the sun, the movement of the heavenly bodies, the movement of constellations and so forth and so on. We did that. You know, one of the things that was very clear, as far as my understanding of why Kemetic society did that, was because they lived on a river, and rivers inundate. And they had to know when the river was going to inundate, when the river was going to flood, so they could get to higher ground or make temples and pyramids and tombs, because the flooding of the Nile provided them the opportunity to go down the Nile, or actually really up the Nile, because south is up, north is down. Let's be real, because the Nile River flows from south to north and empties into the Mediterranean. So they wanted to go
upriver to where the quarries are to get the stone, drag them from that place, put them on the barge, sail them in the north, sail them northerly, but of course it's downriver, and then push them off the barges and place them on, you know, I mean, tremendous undertaking. Some of the quarries were, could be literally hundreds of miles. And so they had to know when the river was going to inundate, when it was going to flood, and then, of course, they had to know when it was going to recede, because it's a desert outside of that fertile earth that is laid there when the river recedes for them to grow. It's a delicate balance. That's why one of the most important gods of ancient Kemet, aside from Amun-Ra, which is the main god, was Osir, who the Greeks called Osiris. He is sometimes depicted black because he is the god of the perfect black. And he is sometimes depicted green because he's the god of vegetation and renewal. And so they had to know when that's going to happen so they could do the agricultural piece, so the people all up and down the Nile would have food. I know you've, you know, for those Bible people, you know, they talk about the Israelis or the Hebrews coming into Kemet because there was famine in their land and they knew where they could get food and all kinds of other stuff. They talk about Kemet and Ethiopia. Ancient people, ancient cultures. But they're a foundation of culture that all others emulated and wanted to be like and copied and plagiarized and co-opted. Yep, the winter solstice. Here's a piece I'm quite sure many of you might have heard it, and you haven't heard it in a while. It's from the Ziggeist piece, and it's only a small piece of it, because if you know, as you know, he breaks it down how these older cultures had taken from Kemet. And of course, this is part of the this season, probably the biblical story, because today would begin that, and the earth seems like it does not move for 3 days, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. On the 25th, the earth begins to now start to tilt back towards the sun, the rebirth. And they utilize that in the Christian terms of Jesus dying and buried for 3 days and then rises from the dead or reemerges or transfiguration. But in actuality, it is ancient. You see, that's the part, you know, and I don't know why it doesn't bother Christians because, you know, but see, I think the thing about Christianity, you have to submit, even though you could be a brilliant person, but in terms of your belief in that, you have to dumb your ass down because it's not rational. And there's so many things that came before it. And there's so many parallels. There's so many comparisons that are just dead on about something that came literally thousands of years before. But yet, Christianity says, mine's is historical. Mine's is right. Yours is a fairy tale. Yours is myth. Yours is allegory. But mine's is, you know, and the European, that's why I love Murmur Ani's book, Urugu, the chapter that deals with religion and Europeans' religion. That's probably one of them I read the most about why the European has to have their religion be real as opposed to others who understand that their religion is part of a mythology, part of a spiritual understanding. But no, for the Christians, it is physical. It has to be real. He had to come down and he's coming back. He's coming back. I'm going to play this. And like I said, I'm quite sure you've heard this before. And I'm not going to play, it's not much of it. You know, it's not much of it. It's only like 14 minutes, but it's interesting. And in fact, one day we might play a good, little bit more of it and further discuss. But this is from the Zig Ice.
The more you begin to investigate what we think we understand, where we came from, what we think we're doing, the more you begin to see we've been lied to. We've been lied to by every institution. What makes you think for 1 minute that the religious institution is the only one that's never been touched? The religious institutions of this world are at the bottom of the dirt. The religious institutions in this world are put there by the same people who gave you your government, your corrupt education, to set up your international banking cartels, because our masters don't give a damn about you or your family. All they care about is what they have always cared about, and that's controlling the whole damn world. We have been misled away from the true and divine presence in the universe that men have called God. I don't know what God is, but I know what he isn't. And unless and until you are prepared to look at the whole truth and wherever it may go, whoever it may lead to, if you want to look the other way or if you want to play favorites, then somewhere along the line you're going to find out you're messing with divine justice. The more you educate yourself, the more you understand where things come from, the more obvious things become, and you begin to see lies everywhere. You have to know the truth and seek the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky, who watches everything you do, every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing, and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit.
This is the sun. As far back as 10,000 BC, history is abundant with carvings and writings reflecting people's respect and adoration for this object. And it is simple to understand why, as every morning the sun would rise, bringing vision, warmth, and security, saving man from the cold, blind, predator-filled darkness of night. Without it, the cultures understood, the crops would not grow, and life on the planet would not survive. These realities made the sun the most adored object of all time. Likewise, they were also very aware of the stars. The tracking of the stars allowed them to recognize and anticipate events which occurred over long periods of time, such as eclipses and full moons. They in turn cataloged celestial groups into what we know today as constellations. This is the cross of the zodiac, one of the oldest conceptual images in human history. It reflects the sun as it figuratively passes through the 12 major constellations over the course of a year. It also reflects the 12 months of the year, the four seasons, and the solstices and equinoxes. The term zodiac relates to the fact that constellations were anthropomorphized, or personified, as figures or animals. In other words, the early civilizations did not just follow the sun and stars, they personified them with elaborate myths involving their movements and relationships. The sun, with its life-giving and saving qualities, was personified as a representative of the unseen creator or God, God's sun, the light of the world, the savior of humankind. Likewise, the 12 constellations represented places of travel for God's sun, and were identified by names usually representing elements of nature that happened during that period of time. For example, Aquarius, the water bearer, who brings the spring rains. This is Horus. He is the sun god of Egypt of around 3000 BC. He is the sun, anthropomorphized, and his life is a series of allegorical myths involving the sun's movement in the sky. From the ancient hieroglyphics in Egypt, we know much about the solar messiah. For instance, Horus, being the sun or the light, had an enemy known as Set, and Set was the personification of the darkness or night. And, metaphorically speaking, every morning Horus would win the battle against Set, while in the evening Set would conquer Horus and send him into the underworld. It is important to note that dark versus light, or good versus evil, is one of the most ubiquitous mythological dualities ever known, and is still expressed on many levels to this day. Broadly speaking, the story of Horus is as follows. Horus was born on December 25th of the Virgin Isis Mary. His birth was accompanied by a star in the east, and upon his birth he was adored by three kings. At the age of 12, he was a prodigal child teacher. At the age of 30, he was baptized by a figure known as Anup, and thus began his ministry. Horus had 12 disciples he traveled about with, performing miracles such as healing the sick and walking on water. Horus was known by many gestural names such as the Truth, the Light, God's Anointed Son, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, and many others. After being betrayed by Typhon, Horus was crucified, buried for 3 days, and thus resurrected. These attributes of Horus, whether original or not, seem to permeate many cultures of the world, for many other gods are found to have the same general mythological structure. Attis of Phrygia, born of the Virgin Nana on December 25th, crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected. Krishna of India, born of the Virgin Devaki with a star in the east signaling his coming. He performed miracles with his disciples, and upon his death was resurrected. Dionysus of Greece, born of a virgin on December 25th, was a traveling teacher who performed miracles such as turning water into wine. He was referred to as the King of Kings, God's only begotten Son, the Alpha and Omega, and many others. And upon his death, he was resurrected. Mithra of Persia, born of a virgin on December 25th, he had 12 disciples and performed miracles, and upon his death was buried for 3 days and thus resurrected. He was also referred to as the Truth, the Light, and many others. Interestingly, the sacred day of worship of Mithra was Sunday. The fact of the matter is, there are numerous saviors from different periods from all over the world which subscribe to these general characteristics. The question remains, why these attributes? Why the virgin birth on December 25th? Why dead for 3 days and the inevitable resurrection? Why 12 disciples or followers? To find out, let's examine the most recent of the solar messiahs. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary on December 25th in Bethlehem. His birth was announced by a star in the east, which three kings or magi followed to locate and adorn a new Savior. He was a child teacher at 12, and at the age of 30, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and thus began his ministry. Jesus had 12 disciples, which he traveled about with, performing miracles, such as healing the sick, walking on water, raising the dead. He was also known as the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Light of the World, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb of God, and many, many others. After being betrayed by his disciple Judas and sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected and ascended into heaven. First of all, the birth sequence is completely astrological. The star in the east is Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky, which, on December 24th, aligns with the three brightest stars in Orion's belt. These three bright stars in Orion's belt are called today what they were called in ancient times, the Three Kings. And the Three Kings and the brightest star, Sirius, all point to the place of the sunrise on December 25th. This is why the Three Kings follow the star in the east, in order to locate the sunrise, the birth of the sun. The Virgin Mary is the constellation Virgo, also known as Virgo the Virgin. Virgo in Latin means virgin. Virgo is also referred to as the house of bread, and the representation of Virgo is a virgin holding a sheaf of wheat. This house of bread and its symbol of wheat represents August and September, the time of harvest. In turn, Bethlehem, in fact, literally translates to house of bread. Bethlehem is thus a reference to the constellation Virgo, a place in the sky, not on earth. There's another very interesting phenomenon that occurs around December 25th, or the winter solstice. From the summer solstice to the winter solstice, the days become shorter and colder. And from the perspective of the northern hemisphere, the sun appears to move south and get smaller and more scarce. The shortening of the days and the expiration of the crops when approaching the winter solstice symbolize the process of death to the ancients. It was the death of the sun. And by December 22nd, the sun's demise was fully realized. For the sun, having moved south continually for 6 months, makes it to its lowest point in the sky. Here a curious thing occurs. The sun stops moving south, at least perceivably, for 3 days. And during this 3-day pause, the sun resides in the vicinity of the Southern Cross, or Crux, constellation. And after this time, on December 25th, the sun moves 1 degree, this time north, foreshadowing longer days, warmth, and spring. And thus it was said, the sun died on the cross, was dead for 3 days, only to be resurrected or born again. This is why Jesus and numerous other sun gods share the crucifixion, 3-day death, and resurrection concept. It is the sun's transition period before it shifts its direction back into the northern hemisphere, bringing spring and thus salvation. However, they did not celebrate the resurrection of the sun until the spring equinox, or Easter. This is because at the spring equinox, the sun officially overpowers the evil darkness, as daytime thereafter becomes longer in duration than the night, and the revitalizing conditions of spring emerge. Now, probably the most obvious of all the astrological symbolism around Jesus regards the 12 disciples. They are simply the 12 constellations of the zodiac, which Jesus, being the sun, travels about with. In fact, the number 12 is replete throughout the Bible. Coming back to the cross of the zodiac, the figurative life of the sun, this was not just an artistic expression or tool to track the sun's movement.
We'll have to go to another part of it at another time. But as you see, it gives the idea of how the concept, theologically,
and realistically came into being. You know, but once again, what I make reference to is, why do Christians believe that theirs is historical and real and factual, while everybody else is understood as mythological, theological, concepts that are metaphoric, that are allegoric? But why does the European, because he has to, and he has to impose it because it's real, and because they feel that it is real, and imposing it, that those who will accept it, whether through the threat of death or by acceptance because they are whitewashed, brainwashed, believe in the belief of it that they will be saved. That nothing humans can do. They're, humans are internally evil and bad. So there's nothing that we as human beings can do except accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And when he returns, we will, or when the rapture comes, we will be raptured up, and the tribulations will befall the planet and all humanity and all animal life, and it will be destroyed, not completely, because then once it's destroyed, then the world of God or the world of Jesus will now take place, and you and your ancestors will be on the planet. This is the belief. Peacefully, I guess. But I think that what we understood and promoted back then, of course, was the idea that we as human beings, it is our obligation to understand the planet and find ways to work with it, to work with it. So there's harmony. That's why, to me, Ma'at and the laws of Ma'at. That's why we have, brothers and sisters, we have everything we need to be a self-determining people. We have it. The only thing we don't have is our right mind. We have Ma'at. We have the seven principles of Kwanzaa. We have the seven principles of Ma'at. We have all kinds of documentation of African people working with one another and building with one another. We have models of civilizations of ancient, of Kush and Timari and Punt and Nubia, and of course Kemet. And then we have contemporary of Ghana and Mali and Songhai and Benin and other great civilizations. We have African people surviving under tremendous odds. We have all that we need. If we could develop the right mind, if we could throw off the shackles of colonialism and neocolonialism, of ignorance and so forth, and stupidity, we could throw it off. That's my favorite quote, Dr. King. That's my favorite quote, ignorance and stupidity. There's nothing more dangerous. Dr. King said, nothing more dangerous than sincere ignorance. There's nothing more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Sincere. You know, you see that written a lot now because Christmas cards are coming out and people getting Christmas cards sincerely, you know, sincere, heartfelt, believing, sincere. to ignorance? Now, ignorance is simply absence of knowledge. And what this program tries to do, and I believe me, I am not all of that. That's for damn sure. But what I try to do is give you the information, lead you to the information for you to further research, for you to understand what is being presented. And once again, I'm not giving you my opinion because my opinion is profane, deeply profane. I'm giving you information based on the scholarly research by our scholars, our historians, from the beginnings of time to the present. African men and women. Some of them worked tirelessly. They didn't get no grant money, no foundation money. Some of them did it because they understood this is a labor of love, of beginning to bring this information to our people. That's why I love that quote by Drusilla Dungy Houston, who wrote the book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire, in 1926. In 1926, the same time that Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week, which evolved into Black History Month, which I call African and African History Month. That's what it should be. African and African, American African History Month. We need to look at the history in its totality. Not just us here. Us here is very limited because some of us who believe that us just being here is as if we've done nothing outside of us being here. And I understand how great it is that we accomplished some great things under some horrible and wretched conditions. I agree. But, you know, we are tremendous people. That's where that melanin comes in. That's where that melanin comes in. And all the other people of the world has that piece just presented. Came up with ideas. We were the first. Now, I don't know about Heru, who he called Horus, who the Greeks called Horus. My understanding was, of course, the death was Auser, who was killed by his brother, his evil brother. And that Heru avenges his father's death by defeating his evil uncle, just like in the Lion King movie. It's the same story. Once again, it's a ubiquitous story of good versus evil, and good triumphing over evil, or light over dark. But the ancient Kemetic people and their contemporaries and to come were deeply enlightened. I mean, everything was born out of study. Once again, I said earlier that they lived on a river and they had to know when the river was going to inundate. They had to know when the river was going to recede. They studied the stars. Now, there is an astrological phenomenon that's going to take place this evening, on the first day of the winter solstice, and that is the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn, that supposedly you will be able to see if the skies are clear. There's not a lot of cloud cover. I'm not sure in what direction. I'm not sure if it's near where the moon might be. I'm not sure. I didn't get that information. But I would suggest to you, if you really want to see the phenomenon, it won't be back again for another 60 years. And of course, you know, my grandchildren are here, and I'm quite sure they'll be here another 60 years. They'll be old, like I am. But at least they can say, hey, I remember when my grandfather, my Babu, told us about this. We went outside, we looked, and here I am, 60 years later. And it's returned, just like the comets and so forth. We were doing that then. But Europeans, because of how they are and how they evolved, they want to believe and they want to make the world believe that they are the ones who have done this. They're the only ones who can do this. And of course, other cultures, you know, the Chinese, other cultures laugh at it because they have the ability to do whatever themselves. The problem for us as Africans is because we're so fragmented. Imagine to what we could do if Africans unite. And we take what is best from old Africa and merge it with what is best for new Africa for our future. We take what culturally is most sound. And brothers and sisters understand that and respect that. And whatever cultural group that you are with, I don't like to call them tribes, you know. Whatever they are. And if it's that for that particular area, for that particular region or culture in that area, so be it. Respect that. But I think what's most important for us as African people that we embrace our Africanness, that we embrace our Africanness, that we begin to study, that we begin to love ourselves, love each other, defend each other, work hard with each other to build a new reality for African people on the continent specifically, because that's our home. That's our heartbeat. And so even if you want to live in Europe, even if you want to live in the United States or any other part of the world, knowing that you have a home. If the European Jews who thought it was so important for them to have a homeland, even though there is no tie for the European Jews who are there right now and doing what they're doing to Palestinians and doing what they're doing, that's like here in Atlanta because of the runoff election, which I'll be glad when this shit is over. They're running these commercials against this brother named Raphael Warnock. And the commercials are him having supported Reverend Jeremiah Wright. And, you know, Jeremiah Wright out of Chicago, who was Barack Obama's pastor, who married Barack and Michelle Obama. But, of course, because of his firebrand and his understanding of the theology, they put pressure on Barack to disown him, to distance himself from Jeremiah Wright as well as Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know. And so that part where he talks about, truly taken out of context, because I've heard the speech when he talks about considering what America has done. No, not God bless America. God damn America. It's in the Bible. That's what he says is in the Bible. God damn America. When you do these kinds of things to human beings and other groups and culture, you should be damned. But of course, they run that particular piece. And then, of course, they have Raphael Warnock saying, yes, they don't. Once again, it's always out of context. You don't understand it fully. All you hear him say, guess right, God damn America, you know. And so they're constantly running this. And of course, I tell you, I hate this system. I hate the American system. I hate the dominance of Europeans and their evil mindset. To me, you should not have an election unless whatever you present out is truth. Whatever you present is truth. You know, I don't know what's going to happen January 5th, you know, if they win, they meaning Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, that means the Democrats win. They win the Senate. They have the House. And of course, they have the presidency. And of course, the commercials for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler are saying to Caucasians, only you can save America from these left wing, reactionary, radical, who want to do this, who want to do that, who want to take this away from you. You can save America. You can save America. You can make America great again. And I just saw another piece just the other day about Trump. Says he has another whole card about delegitimizing the election and decertifying the election and put in electors. Now, of course, the Met. And I'm gonna tell you, I don't like the concept of the when you vote. It'll come to me, but I don't like the concept. In fact, as we know, the concept was born out of our captivity. It's born because of our captivity, our enslavement. You know, the college, electoral college, and how they picked the electorates and so forth. I don't like it. You know, it truly, but it has saved the Republicans, because the Republicans can't win. They can't win a general election. They can't. Because a lot of the people just don't want to be that hardcore conservative, but they have benefited from that. The two elections, when Al Gore lost Bush at the beginning, and then another one 4 years later. Trump, when he lost in 2016 in a general election. By the numbers, he didn't lose. He won the Electoral College, just like Biden won the Electoral College. And he won the general election in terms of the amount of votes. And of course, because of how terrible Trump was and all the things that were going on, a greater number of people voted in Trump's whacked mind, because he got more votes than he got before. He automatically should be the winner. It's just like when he came out when the stock market hit 30,000. I don't know what it means. I don't know about stock. And he had a conference praising it as if to say, this is what happened. And of course, it happened under his administration, but that didn't happen because of him. It happened because he lost, and they knew that a new day was coming. Not necessarily a real new day. Listen, brothers and sisters, we ain't got but a few minutes. If you want to join this conversation, please. And if I see a number of people are on, hit the pound sign and get on. And if you have a question, comment, or concern, you know, we talked about melanin in the first half of the program and how beautiful melanin is as a substance of carbon, and it is black, and how beautiful we are as being black, and the various shades of us as being black. And for those of us who are light, bright, and damn near white, who embrace being black. Because as you know, the European has made it such that they don't want to be black. We have a caller. And good afternoon, caller.
Hey, Brother Oshie. Hey, Brother Oshie, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Brother Lus. How are you doing, brother?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And I want to be one. If others have already done so, I want to thank you for this platform that you've created and the kind and type of knowledge that you bring forth. You know, what you read earlier today, I wish I would have caught it at the beginning. What were you reading from?
An article that I pulled up on melanin. It came from a blog for Curious Melanated Minds. And it was TRDZ. TrueReads.com. TrueReads.com. True Reads. True Deads, I think it is. TrueReads. TrueReads.com. True Deads. A blog for curious melanated minds. That's what I was reading from.
I got you.
Okay.
Very good. Very good.
No,
because
great.
There are so many pieces of literature that's out. When you mentioned Richard King, that just sparked something in my head, and along with Edward Bruce Bynum, and these are the kinds and types of literature. Man, I wish I would have had this in my up and coming science classes. Man, I wish I had this. And then there's Moti Mancho, I think it is, Black Roots Science.
Okay.
That, boy, I tell you the truth, it would have definitely opened up my eyes on some things.
Right.
It's just, you know, I see it now. I didn't see it back then. But, you know, everything has its right time and place.
I want to
just say thank you for what you do. And it is definitely, I'm benefiting from it as well. And then, of course, with Sister Arimbaani's Urugu, you could develop a good, solid personal library that will take you on to the next generations, man. It's just a matter of passing that on.
I wanted
to call in and say thank you for this. Thank you for this because it is so very needed that we come into a new light, especially when you mentioned about the alignment today. Hopefully everybody is going to be aware of that. Maybe they'll be doing drumming. Maybe they'll do their silent meditations or prayers during this time of season. So hopefully there's an energy surge of sorts that comes from out of melanated people.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. But thank you so very much for this piece.
Oh, Brother Lusp, I appreciate you, dear brother. Thank you for the stuff you send me. And thank you for listening. All right, and contributing, brother. Continue to do so. You have a blessed day, man.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings.
Right on. And, of course, like Brother Lust just said, that this evening when the planet aligned, Saturn and Jupiter, you can see them from the sky. And, of course, that's what we did. We charted everything. You know, we charted the sun. We charted the moon. We charted the stars. Everything was born out of study. We were mathematical people. That was brought out in Inye Sesen when he talked about building temples and tombs and pyramids. Mathematics. We're a spiritual people. We're a spiritual people. That's why that meme that came out of on Facebook when people say I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And what the Christian religious people think and conjure up is something that, well, yeah, you must be demonic. You must be sinister and evil. Because that's their mindset. That's how they're trained. That's how they're trained. Probably the most damaging thing, brothers and sisters, the most damaging thing that has happened to us is the acceptance of religions that are not African. Just keeping it real. Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Seventh-day Adventist, Black Hebrew Israelite. I'm just keeping it real. If any religion can be a tool for our liberation, so be it. But these are not. And that's the only thing that a religion or a theological concept should be about, and everything should be about for African people, a tool for our liberation, a tool for us to be independent, to be self-determining, to be liberated, and to be sovereign. That's what's most important for us. And so, on this day, now tomorrow, as I say, you know, when you understand that concept, it is not, you know, the physical three kings. It's not how the story goes, and it's not how you see it on the in the movies, or you see it on TV, it's repeated all the time. I don't care if they use people in blackface. Not in blackface. I don't care if they use melanated people in the story. if it's the same story, is BS. Okay? Because I know for us, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's more true. That's more. It's not. None of it is true. It is not true. It is not historical. It is not real. And if Caucasian control it, it sure in the hell ain't going to be us. It ain't going to be our face. So let them have theirs. Let them have theirs. Give that back to them. Give it back. Say, here, I'm returning this. I come to find out it's not compatible with my essence. It's not compatible with my spirituality. It's not compatible with my being. It doesn't liberate me. It really confines me. It keeps me away from looking at African people and looking at them respectfully and looking at them as my brother and my sister. It keeps me divided. It keeps me individualized. Don't want it. Don't work for me. Give it back to them. So then when you give it back, you won't be saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. No, you were saying, I'm here to work for the liberation of African people. I'm blessed because we're blessed. And because we're blessed, I'm blessed. That's the African way. So I appreciate the callers. And of course, all the listeners, there's some people there, and I know they just want to listen. But if you want to make a comment, just hit the pound sign and you'll get in. Now we only have 2 minutes. I'm just going to take these last 2 minutes to say on Wednesday, if you want to know more about Kwanzaa, its history, its practices, and so far how important Kwanzaa is, Brother Bashir Mchawi will be my guest, along with Sister Akina. Sister Akina, who knew a sister in the Bay Area, Mama Akina, who presented Kwanzaa and moved Kwanzaa. I mean, you know, Kwanzaa, once Milana had brought it, unfortunately, Milana had been in prison for a few years. And so it didn't die. It grew. Because the concept and the beauty of it is something that we as African people need. And so we'll talk with those brothers and sisters to see what's happening now. I know that the potential right now for Kwanzaa to be huge is great because, you know, we can have some great Kwanzaa Zoom conferences. You know, we had a pre-conference 2 weeks ago. It was really nice. But how it could be is really, and just like we had that African Liberation Day with my good brother, Damani Aquil, beautiful. And Sister Miriam did an outstanding job, just like we had the Pan-African Socialist Movement on Zoom, people calling in and talking from various countries globally. All that potential is there. You know it. So be here on Wednesday. And, of course, Friday is Christmas, and we'll talk about Christmas. Okay. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a marvelous day, a beautiful day. If you get a chance to see that phenomenon tonight, that's kind of cool. If you don't, hey. But we'll be back here on Wednesday. I hope you can join us. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Wednesday. Peace, family.